you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The most outrageous moments from the Golden Globes. We're getting brutally honest about all that fashion. Plus, a trespasser arrested at Kim Kardashian's house. All the scary details. Then,
were you silent or were you silenced?
Oprah's going there with Harry and Meghan, but will it live up to the hype? Welcome to the show. We cannot wait to talk about all the fashion and the moments that we loved and the dresses that we didn't. All of that's coming up. But first, the Globes were the first award show to take a controversy and actually address it head on. The winners, presenters, and even hosts did not hold back about the lack of diversity in those who picked the Globe winners. In fact, Amy and Tina got into it right at the start of the show. Watch.
The Hollywood Foreign Press Association is made up of around 90 international no black journalists. I realize HFPA, maybe you guys didn't get the memo because your workplace is the back booth of a French McDonald's, but you gotta change that.
It is great to be black at the Golden Globes.
Absolutely.
Back at the Golden Globes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what, SK, it is great to be black, back. Anyway.
Amen.
In the spirit of inclusion, I hope that this time next year, this ceremony reflects the true breadth and diversity of the film and television being made today, because there is so much more to be celebrated.
Thank you to the all-white Hollywood Foreign Press.
It was so fun. Jane Fonda, too, I think, you know, addressed it as well, head on. How did you feel? How did you think they did handling this?
Well, go ahead. Well, I was going to say, first of all, Jane Fonda, you know, she's always fantastic. But I love, they came out hitting it right on top of the head. Everyone had the jokes. I personally thought the Foreign Press probably thought they had a black woman on the board. I think it was Rachel Dolezal. I think they just, maybe then they found out, oh, she ain't black. It is the first award show that you actually see a president come out and actually admit, okay, we're going to make some changes, we're going to do something. And I think, you know, if you're not going to talk about it, then you're part of the problem.
Right. I did see a few actresses talk about this and say, like, mm-hmm. appreciate you acknowledging it, but let's see action, let's do whatever. But, you know, I do think that there is something about the fact that they did not sugarcoat it. They did not put it under the rug, swipe it under the rug. They made a joke out of it in the first few seconds of the show, you know, with having the host address it. And then I did like that the presidents came out and also acknowledged it and other members of the HFPA. Mm-hmm. But it felt a little forced as far as like that statement went. You know, it didn't feel very genuine. But then I have to also remember they're not your typical presenters. Maybe they were nervous and they just wanted to stick to the script to make sure they didn't say anything wrong. They're not, you know, actors.
Oh, yeah,
they're not
absolutely.
Like Tina and Amy who can just get out there and say it, but still say it in a funny way. Mm-hmm. They were very straightforward into the script. It felt a little insincere, but at the same time, it was at least something.
Yeah. And look what at you. Think, and then they came out with two black winners back to back.
They were like, yeah, yeah, we're going to go ahead.
Let's start being with these categories. You know what? Let's rearrange the show because these guys are going to. No, I don't know about that.
I'm having mixed feelings about the whole thing.
All right.
On one hand, I do appreciate the president's not trying to run from it. I appreciate the Hollywood Foreign Press Association not trying to sweep it under the rug. And I think it's because it's been 3 to 4 years since the Time's Up movement happened and Black Lives Matters, you know, movement happened. And we're starting to see more minorities and more women, you know, at the having seats at the table. And their predecessors were older white men who came from the school of, we're going to let it pass. It's going to be fine. Yes. It's all going to blow over. But you have women now and minorities saying, you cannot not take a stand. We have to say something. So kudos to them for that. Mm-hmm. I will say, however, I love Tina Fey and I love Amy Poehler. I would have loved a Chris Rock or Eddie Murphy or Dave Chappelle getting on there and saying, all right, we're gonna hold your hand to the fire and we're about to draw blood.
Yeah.
Because if you remember when Chris Rock did Oscar So White, when he did the opening monologue, he read their asses to filth. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
So I needed that moment. I needed them to say, okay, we're gonna come take this ass whipping as we need to, because it's 2021. We should
and they've
not
had
be
enough
talking
time.
About
they've
that.
They've had plenty of time since Oscar So White. Hello, the curtain has been pulled back. We see you. And they got caught up. Like, ooh, they don't see us. No, we see you.
By the way, this is when I grew up. If I did something after my sister did something and got her ass whipped for it, and I did the same thing two years ago, shame on me.
Say
your sister got her ass handed to her in 2016 for not having a black person in the room. Why are you not just inviting your boy Dante to come join the party for free?
Yes.
Like, I go to these press
junkets.
Get ahead of it. I go to press junkets all the time. You go to red carpets all the time. Mm-hmm. The amount of people and diversity on these carpets, all you had to do is have somebody from membership services go up to Kim Whitley and say, hey, you look black enough. You want to come through for free? We give you 5 years for free. You can come through, go to the Oscars, do all the after parties. People would join in 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. So,
they didn't think they would get caught.
Great. They didn't think they would get caught.
That's, I mean, it is what it is, you know.
I actually think what it was is, and I'm not taking away from them at all, I think what it is, when people say diversity and inclusion, they look around. They're like, oh, we have Indian people. We have people of Asian descent. And they don't think
about
the full picture.
Yeah.
Because they probably do look like United Colors of Benetton. And compared to the Academy, they probably do have a colorful array of people, just not dark enough.
They would say, we thought we were doing well.
Yes.
We thought, we have a woman. I told you that happened to me on the set. Well, Kim, look, we have Asian, we have females, we're diverse, but the crew is all white. And that's 200 people.
Yeah.
The cast is like 6 people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we really have to work on that.
You know, as we said, like, this was setting the seed, so we'll see what happens, what happens in 2022, because we all know we'll be watching to see 100%. If there's anything
different. Absolutely.
All right, well, also stirring up a little, even more controversy, surprisingly, maybe not surprisingly to you, the Freedom Mom commercial that ran during the Globes was one of the most talked about things on social. It got very real about breastfeeding struggles that many moms face. Watch.
You gonna show?
You've got this. Latch. And oh God, unlatch. And clog.
And good moms should know how to do this. And am I a bad mom if I stop now?
And my doctor said cabbage.
And do I love my baby?
This should have been a Super Bowl commercial.
During this whole thing, I wish you guys had a close-up on her. She is like...
I couldn't take it because I saw the whole commercial. This was a little clipped up for TV. I saw the one that ran on YouTube or something.
YouTube,
It was... I couldn't take it.
In what ways?
I couldn't... Because when you first open it up... the African American woman first, they right out there, and then she took the nipple and she put. I was like, okay, all right, that's too much. And not saying, but I don't need to see that. I watch television to escape. I don't look at my own like that. I don't want to do all that. I don't want to see it. I think it's a bond between a child and a mother. I don't have a problem with it. I love women doing it, but I don't think we should have to see the full situation unless we are in a foreign country mm-hmm. where they walk around and we're used to that. Because my son walks by the television and now he sees it. He runs over to me and he's lifting up my shirt. I'm like, hey, hey, hey.
So that's the problem. Very interesting.
That's the problem. We need to normalize breastfeeding.
It is normalized.
No, I feel like, for instance, I was on a flight mm-hmm. a few years back. I was sitting next to this very nice woman who was mm-hmm. struggling with a baby and a toddler in the seat next to me. Was I happy that I had that seat? Probably not, but I wasn't gonna bitch about it. And the woman went out to latch her baby onto her, and she was struggling trying to find the thing to cover her. And the flight attendant, who was also a woman, asked her if she would kindly go and go breastfeed in the lavatory.
No,
and I looked
not.
At her, and
oh,
I
no,
was
that's
like,
a,
the
that's
hell?
A problem.
I was like, looking at the lady, I was like, don't you dare move. And I'm like, she is not gonna go do that. And she said to me, in front of the lady, some people are uncomfortable with it. And I said, well, this is a teachable moment that they can have with their kids.
Okay.
Because 60% of us, whether we want to admit it or not, have sucked on a titty, whether we were a child or an adult.
Right. Here we go.
I'm sorry.
Here we go. Here we go.
I'm sorry.
Good morning.
Sorry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Now, listen.
No, no. Let me say, I got to clean myself up. It's not that I don't have a problem with it, but look at how Janet Jackson was treated for Nipplegate. It popped out. But now we're going to be full on showing nipples?
But that's the problem, because Janet Jackson wouldn't have been incriminated if we would just normalize breastfeeding. And not that it's the same thing, but it's a nipple. We've all seen a nipple.
That was also, there's also a difference. There's a strong difference between being sexy mm-hmm. on stage and performing and releasing it. Not that I think that Janet Jackson deserved what mm-hmm. she got. I do not. But there's... It is human instinct. I'm on month 10 of breastfeeding mm-hmm. Zoe. And so, to me, I loved this commercial, right? Because
good for you.
All of these things, I'm like, been there, done that. That is relatable. And the feelings that breastfeeding can cause in a mother, as far as you feel like you're failing, you feel like you're not doing it right, you feel I had breastfeeding struggles with Chase, and then I had a whole different set of struggles with Zoe. And there's so much doubt, and there's so much
pressure
that you feel as though you are alone, even though you know you're not. You feel alone because you feel like every other mother can do this, but why can't you? And that's such a hard feeling. And so whenever I see a commercial like this, it was hilarious to me because not only just to other women, but like even their partners, you know, who have to see this or people who aren't mm-hmm. familiar with this have an idea of like what you're going through. Like when you say like, oh, I just need to skip a breastfeeding session because of this. Like there's a lot, luckily, like I work at a place where I'm able to take those breastfeeding breaks, but other companies aren't so lenient with their employees about taking breastfeeding breaks. And it's like, no, you have to let me do this because if I don't, you guys are going to start seeing leaks throughout my shirt, or, you know, I'm going to be engorged and it's going to cause a lot of other problems. And then maybe I'll get mastitis again, which is a terrible thing you don't want to get. It's just lot that like breastfeeding is this huge thing that is about motherhood. If you choose to take it on, or if you can, if you're able to take it on. And I don't think that the average public knows how much women sacrifice to try to do this for their kids.
So, but do you think the commercial was done well, that it was just like that?
I thought it was
great. Okay, then that's
you
too.
Why have to go to Africa to see
women feeding
their children?
Not even anywhere in the country.
Because the difference is,
I'm talking about in
breasts
America.
Breasts in America
we have not,
are yes, super they, sexy, right? They
yes.
are. That is a part of our sexiness, and they should, they still can be. Mm-hmm. But it can also be both. Because whenever you're looking at a mother with their baby, I don't think we should be looking at breasts as like a sex symbol. I think you look at it as like, I mean, not
utter.
To get religious here,
right,
but
okay,
like, as
utter.
God gave you this to be able to provide
feed.
For your baby, it's like such a maternal instinct thing if you're able to do it. But then, of course, we have formula for, you know, if you need that too. So I think it's, mm-hmm. I think it's trying to take the sexualization out of when you see a mother with her baby, you just don't like look at
okay.
it like she's trying to be sexy. You look at it like she's just trying to make this
just
baby
trying to make
eat.
It.
So it's just a scream in your face.
I will, I'm going to relook at it. And I don't have a problem with breastfeeding, but I will look, I had a problem with the way the commercial was and the black woman was the first one out. Okay. So we better go to break.
Like,
let me be quiet.
Because a lot of people agree with you. A lot of people think that was too much, and I totally understand where you're coming from. But as someone who's living it, mm-hmm. it felt nice
okay.
to see that.
All right.
For sure. When we come back from break, though, because there's another side to this whole thing.
Oh, okay.
And we need to talk about it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Also, still ahead, you guys, we're talking fashion, all the hits and misses from last night, plus the Hollywood couple that just called it quits. That's all coming up.
It's a tingle bitty.
Okay. But then let's just be honest in the break, honey. Why the white girl's titties all perky and I didn't want to say.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, before the break, we were having a little bit of a heated conversation about the new breastfeeding commercial, and you had another point you wanted to make.
Yes.
No, the other point that I wanted to make, because you said something very interesting, is how, like, 10 months in and the struggles and all of these things. I think the other thing that we need to normalize, and this goes out to all the women, because I've seen the mom shamers and I've seen the women who don't even realize that they're putting unrealistic expectations on other women who say, oh, you only breastfed for 3 months? Oh, I had baby Catherine for a year and a half.
And then some of them are just too long.
Too long.
You got the 5-year-old sitting up there on your breastfeeding. Come on.
I'm not going to judge anybody for breastfeeding.
Everybody can do what they want to do.
Yes,
and that's the freedom. Like, America, that's what it's all about. It's your child and whatever you feel is right for your child.
Yes, but you cannot, and I think this is where the struggle happens, is when people say, and you don't even realize you're saying it, oh, you only did it for this amount of months, and then you throw in the amount of months that you did. I feel like there are a lot of women who go through things like we saw in that commercial who aren't very vocal about it and who don't know how to diagnose it, that are feeling shame from it.
No.
So I think we should applaud women
yes,
for breastfeeding
no
for two
shame.
Weeks and 2 years.
No, yeah, there's no, dude. Well, I got a problem with the 5-year-old. That's me jumping on your lap at the restaurant. I was like, oh, that baby got teeth.
I'm not gonna lie. It kind of really.
Not gonna lie, Zoe got 2 teeth. Ooh. And listen, so I didn't have to experience that with Chase, because Chase didn't get teeth till after he was one. He was just like a slow teeth comer. And Zoe got teeth. We may be quitting breastfeeding a little early.
No, don't do it.
Okay.
Don't do it. I don't want another maternity leave.
Right. No, and not another one.
Not another maternity leave.
But let me say this, because I want to make sure that I am clear. You're in the United States, that it doesn't happen. But since we don't do that and we don't walk around feeding, but if, like I said, if I had a baby in the Amazon or over in Africa or somewhere, and I'm by myself, this is going to feed the baby and everyone else. If we are somewhere and your child is hungry and I'm over somewhere, we can't go to the store and get formula. But I'm going to feed your child. I'm going to feed your child, because this is a source of nutrition.
I think you are more thrown off by the presentation.
Yes,
I think it's what
the pinch of the nipple and the pull. I was done.
What was it?
It was a pinch and a pull, and it was a hangout.
That's so graphic, but at the same time, like, that's so normal. That is what you do, especially whenever they are newborns, they have like very little mouths. You're like trying to make
it fit. I'm gonna be honest with you. When I adopted Joshua, Sherry Shepherd called me and said, "The only way you're gonna bond with him is you breastfeed him."
When
you listen to your friends, she said, "If you start breastfeeding, you will lactate." I said, "I don't think."
University of Phoenix online course did Sherry Shepherd
say? I'm not sure, but they said there is some medicine or something you could take that'll make you lactate. I wasn't going through all that.
Wow.
I tried it. I was like, is she real? Let me tell you something.
Wait, no, hold on.
You also adopted your son when he was 6.
Were you able to get breast milk?
Days. No,
even though you were never pregnant?
So then I was going to buy breast milk.
Right.
So I looked into purchasing the breast milk. I was going to take the medicine. I said, but now I'm taking the medicine to lactate to put the medicine in the baby's body. I said, none of that is important.
Okay,
me holding the body close, him feeling me, I said, that's just as bonding.
Yeah.
Then I was like, let me buy the breast milk. So you're talking about the pressure. Think about an adopted mom. Oh, you're not breastfeeding because you can't. Oh, yes, I can. I can get some breast milk.
Oh,
it's a lot.
I really don't like that. I mean, I don't feel like anybody should feel pressure to do anything. I think it's whatever keeps your baby happy and fed is the most important thing. 100%. Please don't feel pressure to ever do things. Please don't feel pressure to ever not do things. It's just 100%. As long as you know your baby best, right? And you know yourself best. And a happy mom makes a happy baby. So I really think it comes back down to that. The beauty I liked in this particular commercial was just the fact that I don't think even my husband, you know, before we had children, had no clue the life I was about to be living and how my breasts were going to be like going through this whole situation, right? And it's a lot for even a man to take in to see you go from like my sexy breasts to what's happening with that?
Do you think men have a problem with that?
You know what? I think
looking
it's my
at the breasts, okay?
Because you know, men have a sexualized attachment to breasts, right? Mm-hmm. So whenever you see it in a different light, and they become this more like natural maternal situation for some men, yeah, maybe like a little bit of a turnoff as far as you're taking away the sexualization
you be quiet.
Of it.
Okay.
I think that there are men that feel that way. So I think whenever you put commercials out there, right, and they see, okay, this is super normal. It's not just my wife going through this. This is wives all across America. Okay. They're all doing this. It's not weird. It's normal.
Yeah, but wives, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to call y'all out right now. Because wives, first baby, you don't want to disturb your mans. You're going to walk into the next room, and you're going to breastfeed in the quiet and the privacy of your own home with the pillow. Once you have that second baby, I could be in your house visiting for the second time with four other people. You're going to whip that thing out in front 100%. Of anybody you know.
My brothers, my in-laws, they've all seen it.
Yes.
They're
and
all
I'm
like,
I whipped mine out, and I don't even have a baby. He's 10.
100%.
He ran in the room last night, and I was naked. What am I going to do? I didn't, ashamed. I wasn't, I just had to, because I was like, so yes, mommy's naked. This is what a woman looks like. I didn't know what to do. Jesus.
Hey, guys. Would love to know your thoughts. #DailyPop. Okay, up next, the best and the worst dressed at the Globes. We are breaking down all the fashion next. Oh, my gosh. What a funny topic for day one
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. The traditional Golden Globes red carpet may have looked very different this year, but that didn't stop the stars from giving us some serious style. These daring beauties turn heads with their gorgeous gowns. What did you guys think?
I
love Anya Taylor-Joy. The green is beautiful. It's elegant. It's fun. I loved her long hair with it. I thought that was like, you know what? I'm showing up for this moment. I am going to be the queen gambit that I am.
I like Cynthia Erivo.
Yes.
I thought it was maybe a Grammys dress, but I think what she brought to it was simple elegance. And it was just this modern, elegant moment that I think we're going to talk about for a very long time.
Oh, I wanted
I
to like
loved it.
I loved it.
I love the color. It's such a different color than you
if
would
if it was
oversee.
Any other color, I would be all for it. But it was the shape, and I just wish it wasn't a Christmas tree.
Ice cream cone. I love it. I love the color against her skin with the short hair. I'm there for that lime green.
I love the style. I love that she did the platforms for it. I thought it was funky and fun, and I always love Cynthia's style. But I just, with that color, I just saw Meme City.
We're going to agree to disagree. Now, you guys, metallic gowns were a trend we saw on Tiffany Haddish, Regina King, and Kate Hudson. Did you love it or did you hate it? I'm going to tell y'all right now, that armor on Regina King, honey.
Oh, yes.
That armor.
Look at that.
On Regina King, Louis Vuitton, Kate Hudson also wore Louis Vuitton. These dresses, I think, were three of my favorites of the night.
Oh, my God. Regina brought that.
I loved all of these. Every single one. Edgy, cool, funky. And you know what I also loved about it? Is Tiffany, we got to see as a presenter come out and see the full force. But I love that the stars were really thinking of the fact that the Zoom, you could only see from waist up.
No.
And so I thought, Regina, so smart. Pick something with an interesting top. Same with Kate Hudson. I just thought those were very cool, fun, and funky. I wanted people to go all out this year.
It was hard to screw it up. You're talking about, we've had three fashion weeks where nobody could wear anything from it. So the selections were plentiful, honey.
Yeah.
Yes. And designers had nothing else to do but
they
make custom
gowns. They were
making
them from scratch. Just give me a call. I got nothing to do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about the stars that showed up in their pajamas? Oh, sorry.
Jodie Foster.
Get out of here. We're going to skip the pajama talk, and we're going to go to the stars who showed up and gave us detail, 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 like feathers, flowers, and ruffles. I know which one you're going to pick already, Carissa.
You already know.
So you go first, Kim Whitley.
Okay. You know I'm an Angela Bassett.
We all are Angela Bassett.
You already know I love it. I thought that was classic, like old Hollywood mixed with a little da-da-da-da because it's a long braid, but I loved it. I love the color, and I love the shape, and I love the feathers.
Oh, my God. I was obsessed. As soon as she walked out on stage, my jaw dropped. Also, Amanda Seyfried.
Oh,
so
yes.
I only got to see the front on the show.
Gorgeous.
And her glam, her hair, the makeup, the detail on the top, the color, everything. I was like, killed it.
Gorgeous.
And then when I saw the back, I was, I was done. I was so in love with
it. It seems like everything is old Hollywood, right?
Everything was old Hollywood right now. Because you know what? Back in the day, too, when stars like Oscars, they were done on the radio. You would listen to it on the radio, and then they would deliver your Oscar at your home. You remember in Mommy Dearest? Remember when you saw that?
Wow.
That's how they did it.
Oh, I did not know that. You better do your research.
I did my research. Jared Leto. You know, I just love that a man, you know, not very many men took very good fashion moments. I love that, he threw that flower in there and was like,
let me tell you the only problem.
Oh.
The color was terrible.
What? No, what? I love the color.
He looked washed out.
I love the color.
Oh, he looked washed out.
He didn't have a ring light.
It goes with his vibe. He's just.
Hold on.
No, it's like a tan.
Look at that. I love it.
Kim symbol with the long hair. Oh, I'm in it.
Kim Whitley had the nerve to say he didn't have a ring light. That's how I know when people are rich. The richer you are, the more technical problems you have.
I still got the question, why you gonna say her dress was a Grammy dress and not, or it was an Oscar dress and not a Golden Globes dress? Cynthia Reeves, you were like, that was more of a...
It was more of a Grammy moment, but she brought it into the Golden
Globes. That's
a
whole thing. What dress is a musical? You know what, we're gonna have to go to commercial because I don't talk to you
right today.
I don't understand.
You always
that doesn't make sense
all
to me.
All right, children. We're gonna go to commercial. We'll be right back. How did Tina Fey and Amy Poehler do last night, and who really won the night? We're going to debate more of the top moments when we come back.
You were engaged 16 times.
Get back to the thing. How did...
Welcome back. Time to take a look at the other big stories making headlines this Monday. It's the Hollywood Minute. Chris Harrison's temporary replacement for the Bachelor franchise is Emmanuel Acho. The former NFL star and author of Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man announced on social he'll host Matt James's After the Final Rose special next week. I think this is a perfect fit. And here's a developing story. Cops tell TMZ a man allegedly tried to crash a gate at Kim Kardashian's home outside of LA last week, saying he wanted to visit her, but security was able to stop him, thankfully, and call authorities. No word on who was home at the time. Jodie Foster thanked NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers following her Golden Globes win last night. Afterwards, she cleared up the rumor that she was the one who set up Aaron and her co-star, Shailene Woodley.
I have never met Aaron Rodgers. So, but it is possible that I do like to talk about how much I love the Green Bay Packers. And sometimes I can talk a little bit too much about that. So of course, Shailene was very aware of my enthusiasm for the team.
So I think it's safe to say she's a fan. All right, that's your Hollywood Minute. All right, staying with the Globes, here's a look at some of Amy and Tina's top moments of the night.
It's gonna be smooth sailing. You won't even notice. This front table right here usually houses the biggest stars in the world. Meryl Streep just hammered. Brad Pitt's always waving at me. A lot of flashy garbage got nominated.
Let's see what these European weirdos nominated this year. Sia's controversial film Music is nominated for Best International Flopperoony. I don't want to get into it, guys, but it's real problematic. And Twitter is saying it's the most offensive casting since Kate Hudson was the Weight Watchers spokesperson.
That was hilarious. What did you think? How'd they do?
You know what? I knew they were going to bring it. Right. I love them. I wish I had more of them on the screen, though. I felt like I could have had 20% more,
yes,
you know, shticks between the two of them.
Yeah.
Or even, like, little vignettes, mm-hmm, like little mini-movies.
Because they're fearless.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're fearless. They're funny. Their timing, their chemistry. Fantastic. I thought they were funny.
Tina and Amy are always great, but I have to say my favorite moment of the whole night was Jason Sudeikis winning for Ted Lasso. I told you all I love this show. I love his character. I don't know this for a fact, but just from watching it, because I watched it a whole second time, he had to improv so much of that because I just can't imagine all of that being scripted. His timing, it's just so impeccable of how he made that show so hilarious. If it wasn't him playing that character, I don't know who could have pulled it off. And on top of that, he was wearing a damn hoodie and he did not expect to win and he didn't know what he was going to say. And it was just
funny. That's hysterical.
The whole moment was funny.
That amazing. My favorite moment is actually part of your favorite moment. I like when Don Cheadle told him to hurry his ass up.
I know, I love that.
Like, wrap it up, okay? This is getting a little long in the tooth. We get it. You're surprised. You didn't know you were going to win, but you knew you were going to win. I just love, like, there's an age where black men get to the point where, like, they ain't gonna take no more bullshit. Like, you know, Quincy Jones will tell you everything about Michael Jackson at this point. Like, this was amazing.
I couldn't believe Don did that, though. But Jason loving it.
His wife is laughing in the background,
I know.
Too.
Jason just totally reacting to Don, saying, like, okay, you're right, I should wrap this up. But if that were me, I'd be like,
look, she's laughing.
Oh, my God, am I really that bad? I probably took it so personal.
You know why the wife is laughing? Because everybody thinks this is a joke. And the wife's like, I know exactly. This ain't a joke.
She was like, there he goes again. I'm trying to get another cocktail.
I would say I had a couple favorite moments, but my favorite moment was Audrey Day.
Yes.
She definitely didn't think she was going to win. She didn't have a paper. She was sitting back. She had her family. All of a sudden, she was like, oh, look, she went, hand me the paper.
How did she do?
She just could not, then she got it together. And then Tone Bell in the background, the comedian who's her co-star, who's a friend of all of ours, Tone is in the background crying and doing the ugly cry. Tone, don't you do that again. Don't you do that again. And so that was my favorite moment. Congratulations, because she is the only second black woman in 35 years. You know, Whoopi won it before for best actress. It's been 35 years, so kudos to her. And then my second moment was, of course, Chadwick's wife. Her name is Taylor, I believe.
That was beautiful.
I don't know how she got it. She had a beautiful dress on. And
stunning.
Yeah.
She did so good at that speech.
Look at Chadwick. Oh.
I can't imagine how difficult that had to be, but he would be so proud of her.
Yes, even the fact that she got through that. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful
And we'll do
moment.
It again for Oscars.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. All right, you guys, after the break, New Amsterdam star Ryan Eggold is here. We're going to get the scoop on the show's crazy new season and so much more. Stay with us.
I just wanted to tell everyone how proud I am of this whole hospital, of everything that we survived together. We've been through hell. We're tired, we're hurting, but our sacrifices are starting to turn the tide.
This doesn't sound quick.
Please welcome to the show New Amsterdam star Ryan Eggold. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we've all spent a lot of time at home this year. Did you come up with any new obsessions? Did you make banana bread?
Right.
Looking back, I'm like, I should have written a book or something.
That's exactly what I said.
I'm like, that was a lot of time to be at home. I should have, written an anthology series, but... No, I'd like to think I upped my cooking game a little bit. I'm kind of getting interested in building houses and construction and things like that and renovation. So I'm reading a lot of those books and doing a little bit of renovation on a new place. So that
was fun. That's huge. That's not like a small little thing.
Yeah.
I haven't built any houses yet, but it's maybe one day.
Well, what about your musical talents? We've seen a lot of your musical talents on Instagram. Now, are we going to see any of that on the show? Look at you.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would love that. If David and everyone would be open to that, I would love to... I'd love to sneak a song on there one of these days. That would be fun.
Yeah, we're really going to tweet them and tell them, and you should.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You like that. Season Good. 3 of New Amsterdam starts tomorrow, and your character has to deal with the pandemic. Oh. I have to know, was it difficult handling that as an actor while also dealing with everything in the real world?
Mm-hmm. It was both. You know, it was weird to go back to work, but also so nice to have a place to go back to this family, this community, and tell these stories. And I completely forgot how to act and what the job was.
I doubt that.
I'm slowly remembering, but it was nice to go back. And it was strange at first to wear masks and get tested every day and distance and, you know, zone A and all these things, you know, to keep everybody safe. But then it started to feel, you know, like you're back in the saddle, like old times, and it actually wasn't as different as I thought.
Oh, that is great. I love the show. I'm a big fan. And I actually just went across the show. It made me stop. Like, your character's a pretty amazing guy. And I was like, what is this on TV? I want to see that. And is there a trait that your character has that you wish you had? Or you might have them all. I mean, you make it tough for me to date because I like that character.
No. Believe you me, Max is definitely a better man than I am. He is always trying to save the world. And, you know, I admire his optimism, his idealism, his altruism. You know, he's always thinking about other people and how he can help and how he can improve things. Yes. And he's a really dedicated in that way. I'd like to think I have, like, maybe, you know, 20% of those qualities. I hope, at least.
Well, he sets the bar high.
He does.
He sets the bar really high. Yeah.
What can fans look forward to on the show this season?
This season is going to be really interesting. I think, you know, we have, you know, Daniel Day-Kim's coming on as a new character, and he's great. And we have, you know, a pandemic that we're dealing with that we've all been living through. So I think it'll be interesting to see that reflected on the show. And then, you know, the sort of stakes that are that high, you know, for these doctors trying to survive this pandemic and get their hospital through it and keep, you know, their patients healthy. That kind of stress takes a toll on people, and it kind of leads you to this place where you're so exhausted that you might actually say the truth. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yes.
And I think that it stretches our characters to their limit in a great way.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for stopping by. Also, that baby that you act with is absolutely adorable.
Adorable.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Adorable.
Those cheeks.
Yeah, I know. That's the best
cute.
Part.
You guys, make sure to check out New Amsterdam tomorrow night when it returns for its third season, only on NBC. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
See you soon.
See you soon. You guys can also check out the first two seasons on Peacock. If you don't have Peacock yet, you can get your phone out, scan the QR code on your screen to sign up. If you do it through our code, E may make a commission. All right, after the break, we're celebrating Hollywood's top women and who just made history, plus our interview with Regina King. We'll be right back. Let's be real, the women ruled last night at the Golden Globes, making some bold moves, starting with Jane Fonda, honored with the Cecil B. DeMille Award. She called for more diversity and inclusion, especially when it comes to making decisions in Hollywood. We also spoke to Regina King about the struggle female directors face.
I'm hoping that it's the beginning of actually feeling a true shift and recognizing just how many women that are powerful artists, storytellers, and have stories to tell.
Awesome. Chloe Zhao also made history, becoming the first Asian woman to win for Best Director and only the second woman to win in the category. And she says it's about time.
I love what I do, and if this means more people like me get to live their dreams and do what they love to do, I think it's really great.
In partnership with L'Oreal Paris, we also want to talk about one of our favorite fashion moments of the night, Viola Davis, show-stopping African print dress. Although Viola didn't win for Best Actress, she won us over with her vibrant dress and that million-dollar smile. Viola is a spokesperson for L'Oreal Paris, who's celebrating the 50th anniversary of their iconic tagline, because you're worth it. Fun fact, this slogan was created by a female copywriter. I love that. L'Oreal Paris launched their 16th annual Women of Worth nominations at the Globes last night. The program recognizes 10 everyday women who selflessly give back to their communities. So if you know a woman doing beautiful things in her community, go to L'OrealParis.com to nominate her. I love that. That's awesome. All right, you guys, up next, Meghan and Harry's revealing tell-all with Oprah. How far will they go? We'll discuss when we come back. Woo.
In the color purple.
Woo! Another big thing last night. We got our first look at Oprah's sit-down with Prince Harry and Meghan. Take a look.
Were you silent or were you silenced? I just want to make it clear to everybody, there is no subject that's off limits. Almost unsurvivable sounds like there was a breaking point. You've said some pretty shocking things here.
My biggest concern was history repeating itself. I can't begin to imagine what it must have been like for her going through this process by herself all those years ago, because it has been unbelievably tough for the two of us, but at least we had each other.
Can't wait for this interview.
I know, and that was 2 hours.
Oh my God.
Instead of 1 hour, it's been extended to 2 hours because Oprah probably got all into it and they were talking and revealing it. And I know Oprah was like, this is going to be good.
I thought for sure there would be a little more button lip, but it sounds like it's going to be good. I love the fact that Oprah was making a mention that there were no topics off the table. The fact that she even said, were you silenced?
Or were you silent? That was an Oprah right there.
I cannot wait.
She's the GOAT, honey.
Oh, please.
Yes.
What do you think Megan's going to say to the answer to that question?
Oh, by the way, Oprah wasn't asking that question out of curiosity. Oprah was asking that question because she knew the answer to it already. Don't forget, these two are neighbors. They have kikied in the color purple. That's what Oprah calls her garden. They have kikied in the color purple. They've had wine. They've shared that margarita that Oprah likes to get. That's $45 in Santa Barbara. Like, Oprah got the pre-interview of a lifetime. And I think that Meghan Markle and Harry are ready to talk and say it all once and once and for all. And this is the only time they're going to do it. Yes. So they're putting it all out there.
Here's my question, though. And I have an answer to this, too. Do you think they're going to slam the royals or just royal life?
I think it's all going to be British paparazzi. I think it's not going to be...
Yes.
They're not going to slam
go
the
against
royals.
Family.
No!
I don't think so either.
No,
it's all
going to
be the paparazzi. You're right. It's going to be the paparazzi. It's going to be the newspapers. It's going to be... Maybe Meghan will take down her family.
Oh,
maybe.
No!
Maybe daddy. You don't think she's going to say something about dad? Daddy caused a lot of stress.
Well, You know what? Maybe.
She might, but this is the problem. I don't think, because it's so heavy on one side, she might bring it up, and it might, if she's going to be honest, she might say there were some problems. But the bigger issue is, I believe she's going to do the paparazzi and everything, but did the royal family support her? That's the problem, because all this could have been squashed. First of all, and I know the paparazzi, but if the royal family shows support and backed her up, I don't think it would be as bad. Because that's when he says, what happened to my mother? If they were supporting her and protecting her, this might not have happened. You know, and I'm just saying that with Meghan, she was going through a lot. Her husband said, no, this is not going to happen.
You see
what happened to my mama. We are out of here. And that's why they got out of there. And I don't think they're going to slam the royal family.
But they could have
supported her instead of thinking with the paparazzi, this black woman, that's what they say, the black woman that came over and stole the prince. No, the prince didn't get stolen. The prince went on his own free will.
He was taken.
100%. Yeah. And I think that's exactly the message Harry is going to do his best to convey, because that's what everybody keeps coming after Meghan for. They think, oh, well, Meghan came, brainwashed Harry, got to leave his family. And it's like, no. He's a grown man. Been living this life his whole life. He probably, as we've said many times on this show, wanted to leave and then found the right woman who said, you know, we can do this.
I can help you do this. She didn't brainwash him. I think she just rinsed him. Like a light rinse, because he wanted to go anyway.
Money.
And she was like, I'm going to just throw some water on this and hope that it grows. I want to point out for the record, I know I said this around the wedding,
the Black family came in, we sat down, we got in that pew, we stayed quiet,
yep,
and we were good. We were in formation.
But we did have a Black preacher that went on and on
We did have a black preacher. So if Megan goes off on her family, let's just know which side it is.
Which side? But I would love, let me tell
you, Dorian's side was chilling. We were in the back.
They were quiet.
We had our hats down low.
They're like, woo, this is something different
we
here.
We were chilling.
But let me tell you something. That Harry can shut it down with one thing, and this is what I'm looking forward to in this interview. I want Harry to look at the camera, and I just want him to say, well, Oprah, you know, once you go Black. No, he's not going to say that. Come on,
he
Harry.
Did know.
Come on, Harry. You can say it.
We got to go, you guys. That would be epic. Tomorrow, Bachelor star Serena P is here. Bye. Oh, my gosh.